Amen. Tell somebody hello tonight. Put your hands together for the risen King, the Savior of all the world. His name is Jesus. Good to be with you all tonight. If we could all come to the middle, that'd be great. Somebody could fill these front rows. Terrific. Good to be with you all tonight. Welcome to Church on the North Coast. Jamie, can you take that for me? Pastor Kayton's birthday is today. He's 62 years old today. And so maybe if you're on Facebook, give him a little shout out. Give him a little love. Tell him happy birthday. Lots of stuff going on. It's good to be with you this evening. If you're watching online, I want to welcome you. Johnny, I got your message and all is well. I'm sorry, I just remembered and I just wanted to say that so that you know all is well. Good things taking place. What are some stuff I want to, hey, if you go to our website now, good, awesome stuff going on there. If you need to like download forms or like you need to, you know, secure the building for something, it's all interactive now. Really cool feature on our website. Go to the Abouts tab, scroll down, and then you can see forms and applications. Really, really cool stuff. You can go on there and you can like see, like if you want to secure building 5 or 10 or 15 or 55. We got so many buildings around here, right? If you want to secure some of these buildings, right, you can just go on there, fill the form out, and zip it right back to us. It's really efficient. Really encourage you to do that. If you're not following us on Facebook or Twitter, encourage you to do that. If we don't have your current phone number, that's a big one. That's a big one because lots of people are like, I don't ever get your messages or anymore. I don't know what's going on. Well, give us your current phone number. We'll add you to our system, and then we'll harass you every week. No, I won't harass you. I'll just keep you posted. Like, I'll tell you what's going on. Like, you know, hey, if we got in a special event or, you know, we need some help. Hey, by the way, there was a call that came in, and I think it's Martha Zimmerman. Martha Zimmerman. If anybody, one of the elders here, if we can check on her. I send it, all the elders, I'm just going to go down my checklist of stuff that's happened in my day to day. If you're an elder and you're not catching my emails, let me know your correct email address. Or if you'd like to do some hospital calls, some personal ministry, so like I said, Martha Zimmerman, a phone call came in from Martha, and I was occupied all day, wasn't able to get there, but I sent out an email day before yesterday, and hopefully somebody could respond to that and just check on her, see how she's doing. I think you email me. Yeah, what do you need? Long day. You know, that way, you know, if hospital calls are there and you happen to be at the hospital or near the hospital, I can send you there and you can pray for them. You know, anybody can pray. Anybody. Anybody. You don't need to take a class to learn how to pray. You don't need to be indoctrinated. You don't need to be laid hands on. You don't need to be baptized 7 times. You don't need none of that stuff to pray to Jesus for the sick. You could do that. You could just, hey, if you know somebody that's sick, just pray for them. And if you'd like to go and visit and pray for people, call me. I got some that I'll send you to. If you want to be a part and you want to, you know, say, hey, I'd like to go and pray for people, call me. I got phone calls every day coming in. There's prayer requests. You know, Kim knows. She answers the phone, these prayer requests all the time. People coming in asking for prayer. If you'd like to just, maybe you just want to pray for people. People call all the time and say, could you pray for this or could you pray for that? You can be a part of that team just praying for people. So we want to utilize everybody's gifts, but I want you to know that, you know, the Holy Ghost knows no limits. And he can work through kids. He can work through yellow, purple, green, blue. He can just do whatever he wants. He just needs somebody that says, I'll do that. I'll pray for them. I'll go do that. And so I encourage you to get involved. Amen. What else do I got? Good stuff. Haiti trips. I got a lot of people asking about Haiti after last Sunday. And wasn't that amazing? It was good stuff. Really, really good stuff. I'm going to leave that right there because it'll just fall again. Really, really good stuff. And so if you'd like to go to Haiti, I'll receive the offering at the end, guys. So stand down, stand down. thanks. If you'd like to go to Haiti, I'm going to try to book my trips in the seasons. And so if you want to go, I got one going in the summer. I got one going in the fall and in the winter. I prefer to go in the winter because it's hot, Jack. So hot, like you don't know heat until you've been there and it's 130 degrees and you're swimming in mayonnaise. It's hot. So hot, like... God, I can't. Like, I live in the shower while I'm there, Kevin. Like, I just, you know, I wake up like 2 hours. There's no sleeping. It's just, you just lay there, you know, and try just lay there and try to not be going through a heat stroke or something. So I want to go in the winter. I want to go in the winter. And God bless you if you want to be hot. Maybe I'll send Jamie or somebody. I don't know. You got your Bible? Yes. Okay, so here's the details on the cost of the trip. It's somewhere like right around between the cost of $700 to $1,000. Not really, you know, depending on when we book our flights, we book them early enough, you know, so it changes and fluctuates the cost of the trip. But when we get there, we're totally self-sufficient, and we normally go for about 5 to 6 days. I prefer five. I like five because the teams I take in, I keep you busy. Like, we hit the ground and we go. There's no wasted time from sun up to sundown. We are ministering. And even when the sun goes down, we're ministering to kids on the Shakoon. And so my ministry philosophy when I'm there is minister to my team. Make sure my team is ministered to. So if you go, I'm going to make sure that I minister to you. And I do my best to you have the greatest mission experience ever. And then secondly, I want to make sure that the kids at the orphanage are ministered to through the team that I bring. So I'll use you to minister to them. So as I minister to you every night, you're going to minister to those kids. Every morning, you're going to minister to those kids. They have morning and evening devotions. And we split ourselves up, and people from our teams do those devotions for those kids while we're there. And then what we do is we take the team and the orphans, and we go and we minister to the villages. You see? So we take the team, the orphans, and we minister to the villages, and it is, you would not believe how we see Jesus just show himself faithful. Breed so much confidence in you when you live dependent like that. You live, I spoke Sunday as about the reward of an orphan, that God will take care of you and sustain you, but it requires. You know, the reward of an orphan is that God now becomes your everything in every moment. But what it requires is, well, life like an orphan. You're completely dependent upon your father to feed you, to give you provision. Every day, those orphans are completely dependent upon somebody to give them food and clothing and shelter. And that's how we must live if we want to see the miraculous take place. It's not a secret, you know. We make it so complex. But you know why we don't see our faith so answered? Like, you know, when people come back from that place, they're like, they have all these, like, amazing stories, like you heard on Sunday. Just amazing stories, right? But the reason you have all those amazing stories is because for 5 days, they realized that their only mission was his. For 5 days, they pulled themselves out of everything they knew, and they went into a land that was strange and foreign, and they said, okay, God, now what? You know, what would happen if every day you and I woke up and said, okay, God, now what? I'm so dependent upon you. I don't even know where I'm going today. I don't even know what we're doing today. But God, you got to tell me, direct me, lead me. You know, are we going to go feed somebody today? And every day is focused about, well, not about you. You don't care about how you look. It's so amazing. Like these girls, you've seen all of them. Like, they come around all cute and pretty. And you know, when they were there, they're just so dirty. They were just dirty. Like, because there's no time for showers, right? There's no time for showering and clean and deodorant and hair stuff. It's just dirty all day long. The dust of Haiti gets on you. Imagine if we just woke up every day and didn't think about us, but thought about them. Thought about them. That's the church. What about, okay, pretend like the back wall's gone. What about them? What about them? We wake up every day and say, okay, God, what about them? I promise you, man, there's such a dependence there. You receive the reward of an orphan because you're so dependent. And when you begin to depend on Jesus, he starts showing up in miraculous and amazing ways. He starts moving traffic. He starts bending the heart of man. He starts doing this and doing that. And by the end of 5 days, you find yourself in a situation where they're saying, there's no way it can happen. You're like, don't tell me that. I've lived 5 days of faith full of all things are possible through Jesus. And suddenly, doors start opening up, and you're like, you're walking with this confidence, and it's like, yeah, yes, he can. She's sick? Yeah, get up in Jesus' name. And now suddenly you're like, you're not afraid of anything. You're walking in witch doctors' huts and laying hands on the sick and pointing your finger at him and telling him he's better give his life to Jesus or he's going to die of starvation. Because you get bold in Jesus when you get out there in the mission field. I get to look about that, man, that was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. What was I thinking? That man was not happy with me. He got to try to put a voodoo hex on me or something crazy. Good stuff, though. Good stuff. Okay, that was a commercial for Haiti. So if you want to go, send me an email and tell me when you want to go. But hey, let me tell you what talks. The $200 deposit talks. The rest is just baloney. Give me that $200. I know you're serious. And we'll book a trip around you. I need 6 people to pay me $200. We start booking flights. Cool. That's that. Got your Bible? Go with me to Mark 3, verses 13 to 15. Let's read. Went up on a mountain, and he called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Last week we talked about this. Then he appointed 12. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. I was on the phone the other day with Time Warner Cable. It's a great experience. So pleasant. And I don't want to bash them, but listen, I was talking, I had so many problems that I would call in just about every day because I'd have problems, and I'm like, look, I'm not paying this kind of money for a service that's inferior. You know, you've got to step up your game because this way costs way too much for this kind of stuff to be happening in. And I began to make demands of the representative of Time Warner, this person that I was speaking to. I'm saying, you know, I need you to do this, and I need you to do that, and I need you to reimburse this, and I need you to take a look at that, and I need you to make some adjustments on my account. And it became very, very clear at one point that the person I was requesting to make and authorize these changes on my account did not have the authority to make those decisions. And because she didn't have the authority, I said, you've got to redirect me. I need to talk to your manager. And she, you know how they give you, well, I am that. And I'm like, you can't be that, because if you were that, you would have the authority to give me what I'm requesting, right? And so it just became very, very clear to me that anytime, somebody in the Time Warner Cable company world deferred leadership to somebody and didn't give them authority. She had a title and she was on the other end of a line answering phone calls, but she did not have the answers to the problems that were coming to her. Now, in the United States of America, it appears as if we got a similar situation going on right now. In our government, we're making requests of them at this moment, and it appears as if everyone's deferring leadership to somebody else. And what's the result of that? You just think about it. The result of that is a bunch of confusion, a bunch of pain, a bunch of loss. Like, we are feeling the result of somebody who is deferring to step into their leadership position. Because people in Congress refuse to make leadership decisions because they refuse to step into a position of authority. Now suddenly, the pain becomes ours. And what you see happening all across the country is this wave of agony and despair because there is a vacuum of leadership, right? And this particular text here, Jesus is talking, and he's talking about leadership. He establishes the blueprint and the roles of leadership, not just for a nation, but for the nations. With this particular text, he goes up on a mountain. Remember, he said give you that. And he went up on a mountain and called to them those he himself wanted. It's a foreshadow, it's a foretaste of what's about to happen. In this particular text, Jesus says, look, pretty soon I'm going to go way up high on the mountain. I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and then I'm going to resurrect, and I'm going to go up and sit with the Father at the right hand of Him, and then I'm still, but here's the cool part, I'm still going to scream through eternity into time, and I'm going to call those that are mine, because I chose them, I'm going to call them to come up to where I am. And so Jesus here is telling us that, you know, the ones that I've called up here, and this is all about the appointing of the apostles and the disciples. You read down further, it says he appointed them and he called them and then he names them. If you read into like verse 16, he starts to name those he called to himself. So really he's saying, these are all my leaders, come up here to me. I need to let you know the authority that you have. I need you to spend some time with me so that way you can be equipped properly to handle the phone calls that you're about to receive. But you'll see what tragically has occurred. What tragically has occurred in the kingdom of God is that I fear that we have deferred leadership roles. Oh, yes, we have. We have stepped aside and said, you know, maybe Rome could answer that question better. Maybe Pilate, do you want to take a stab at that? Maybe you could answer the woes of man's heart and why, you know, maybe you should pass some legislation against swords. So not everybody's carrying around swords down here in Rome, because swords are the source of death and people are killing one another with swords. So you should, hey, Pilate, pass some legislation so that way there's not so many swords out there and people aren't killing themselves with it, Pilate. That's not what Jesus did. That's not at all what Jesus did. He didn't say, hey guys, let Pilate run his kingdom. You step back and run mine. You set up a kingdom on Sunday mornings and Thursday nights. You set up my government and my leadership on Thursday nights and Sunday morning, and you let them do whatever they're going to do. That's not what Jesus is suggesting here. That's not at all what Jesus is suggesting. Jesus is saying, you come up here to me, and I'm going to equip you with the authority and the power to run the globe. But what happens when deferred leadership takes place? The same thing that happens to Time Warner Cable, same thing that's happening to this nation right now. The fact that we've taken a step back and said, hey, go ahead, government, you know, pass gun laws and, you know, try to legislate morality. Go ahead and do that. You know, go ahead and try to, dictate the definition of marriage. Go ahead and just define that. We'll step aside and we'll defer that to you, you know, as the president and Congress and the Senate. You know, we'll just give that to you. It's a shame. Like, that's not, something's wrong. Something's really, really wrong that we have grown comfortable. Now, I know this is not, you know, like, Troy, what are you suggesting? I'm suggesting this, that the role of leadership for the nations. He said, if you ask for the nations, he said, if you just ask for the nations, I'd give him. He told Jeremiah, before you were even formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you existed in time, I knew you in eternity, and I tailor fit you for this moment so that way you could prophesy to the nations, Jeremiah. I ordained you a prophet to the nations, not just the church. And everybody wants to take that role and make themselves a prophet to the church. I'm a prophet. I'm going to prophesy to you. And you come up here and I'm going to prophesy to you. Why? You know what? The way the Old Testament went down, let me tell you how the Old Testament went down. Prophets told kings what was up. When Ahab encountered Elijah, Elijah told him, yo, it ain't going to rain for 3 years. Bet that, buddy. You can go ahead and put the money on that. You'll bet the farm on it, Ahab, King Ahab. It ain't going to rain for 3 years. Watch. And guess what? tight as a drum. Not a drop of rain hits the ground. And then suddenly, at the end of 3 years, the prophet shows back up and says, go get Ahab. Tell him where I'm at. I got some news for him. Because I'm the prophet, I'm the mouthpiece of God, and God's not just sent me to talk to the school of the prophets. He called me to talk to the kings of the earth and to tell them the way things are. But for some reason, we've cowered back and said, no, God's made me a prophet to the church, not a prophet to President Obama. Do you see the discrepancy? And he looks at Ahab and he says, you are the troubler of Israel, not me. You are trying to walk in leadership in a way, in a means that you have no idea what kind of power and authority it's needed to take care of the problems you face today. You want to know why we're in a mess we're in? Because you have no idea what it takes to drive hatred out of a terrorist's heart. You got no idea what it takes to speak to a man's heart and to declare to him that Jesus loves him. Go down there on West 13th Street or down there in the center of Lorraine where they're shooting each other and then try to tell them by some legal law based on the authority of Rome or the city of Lorraine, hey, stop in the name of the law. It's illegal, guys. You can't be shooting one another. It's ridiculous. But we keep deferring leadership to those that have no means, they have no authority. They have no authority to do it. That authority belongs to us. That it belongs to us. Because only Christ born in the heart of a man can make him take his pistol and lay it down and say, I will not take another man's life. Only that can take jealousy out of a heart. Only the love of Christ can drive out rebellion. Only the love of Christ can drive that out of a man's heart. You know, one of the highest murder rates in America here in Lorraine. Because the church has taken a step back and we've deferred leadership to those who have no idea what to do with the power or the authority they've been given. And any time divine leadership defers, pain, hell is unleashed. Hell is just unleashed. Poverty will ensue. Famine will take place. It's a natural occurrence from a deferment of leadership. So I spoke to you last week about the basics of leadership by divine design. That the call from the top was, you know, that Jesus was on top, and a lot of us are sending Jesus to voicemail. It's amazing to me that we still have the audacity to say that we're not really sure about, you know, if Jesus is calling us or not. I'm like, really? Come on, man. Like, you know he's calling you. You know you're taking your phone. Now, there are some phone calls that I answer right now. Some of you have learned that. Some phone calls get answered now. Some other phone calls get answered, well, later. Now, when pastor calls me, that phone call gets answered. Right? That one gets answered. Because there are voices of authority that require my attention. But then there are other voices that not so much. And then there are some that should be just ignored altogether. We need to learn to identify whose voice is more important. We also spoke about being a first-round choice. Remember, I said, you are a first-round choice. It's always interesting to me. Remember Kyrie Irving when he came to play for the Cavs? All of you Cavs fans? Where's Simone? The Cavs fans? When Kyrie Irving came to play for the Cavs, it was amazing. He amazed a lot of people because he was a first-round draft choice. And as a first-round draft choice, his play was expected to represent his call. So when he was called a first-round draft choice, and he came to the NBA, and he began to play as he was called. People were like, that's cool. Like, he's really stepped up his game. But really, really what baffles us are those first-round draft choices that play, that don't play like they're called. You ever see that? Now, that makes you scratch your head, and you got to ask yourself, what happened to you? Did you not realize that you were a first-round draft choice? How could you dominate college like that, be called to the NBA, and be such a flop? Where'd you lose your confidence at? Don't you know that you were a first-round draft choice? Everyone saw the potential that you had, that your play was amazing. But you'll see them all the time. They get out there and they just flop. Like, they get insecure and they start playing and they just like, oh man, they're real timid, and because they start being intimidated by the players around them. See, well, as leaders, we need to realize that there's not one person in this room tonight that's not a first round draft choice. It says, go to the scripture in Mark 3, I think it's verse 13. He called those he wanted. It says he called those he wanted. So you need to know that God called you on purpose. So cool that his disciples, he called. He went up to the top of a mountain, which was a foreshadow of heaven. And he went up to the top of a mountain and he called them and they heard him. But we're a Pauline type of church. See, Paul, I think Paul was entrusted with the gospel for this reason. He didn't have that experience. He didn't have the voice of Jesus calling him from top of the mountain here. He had Jesus calling him from the heavenly realms. Jesus called Paul from the heavenly realms the same way he called you from the heavenly realm. He shouted through eternity into time and he said, hey, Jeff, I want you. I recognize that you are an awesome ball player. I recognize your game. Not only do I recognize that you're a first round draft choice, that you got the goods. I recognize that you are a first round draft choice, but I like to watch you play. I like to watch you play. When you realize that God not only does he call you, but he takes pleasure in you. There's something, I'll never forget it when I had this moment with God. Everything cool back there, guys? Okay. It's kind of hard to preach when there's police officers just, you know, going through the back there. Like, you know, am I good? Like, what's happening here? Somebody, handle your business. Okay, focus. There was such a liberating moment that took place for me. I came into the ministry under powerhouses. I came in when Minister Lee was here. You know, Minister Lee, he was up there playing, and he would just be getting, you know, and everybody who knows Minister Lee knows what I'm doing right there. And then Pastor Greg, you know, I came up into his ministry and all that fire, and people say, I see a lot of Greg in you. Yeah, you should, because there's a lot of that in there. And then Pastor Canton. So I walked into, I didn't know it then, but I know it now. I was a first round draft choice. I was brought into the big leagues and I was placed among all of these heavy hitters. And then what happened to me was what happens to a lot of first round, and what happens to you is that I became insecure by their play. I'm like, man, there's no way that's some good stuff. Do you hear what he just said, dude? That was amazing. And you know, and Greg, he's out there, you know, just Greg. You know, he's just like Greg. And I was so intimidated. And I felt like I had to model my life and my ministry after their play. And so I began to do that, and I caught myself doing it. It didn't feel natural, kind of like that scripture where Saul forced David to put on his armor, and he was kind of walking around all clumsy-like, and then he was like, this does not work for me. I felt like that. I felt like this really isn't me, but I got to do it because, look, they're better than me. They play better than me. I got to be like them. I got to play like LeBron. I can't play like, you know, Dennis Rodman. I got to play like LeBron. And then one day God said this. He said, Troy, if you're not going to be you, because I like the way you play. I like the way you are. I don't need you to be them, because the world doesn't need, they don't need another them. It doesn't need another LeBron James. The NBA doesn't need another one of him, Troy. The NBA needs you. Yeah, I like the way you play, man. I want to see the player that was playing before you got called up to the big leagues. I want to see that. I just want to see it on the court now. You just got to take your game and bring it to the court. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And when you begin to live unapologetically you, that's a sweet moment. As a leader, that's a sweet moment. And you're all, listen, you're all first round draft choices. And God's like, look, I like who you are, Kevin. I like it. I love the way you play. I just need you to play that way all the time. You don't need to lack confidence. Why would you lack confidence? I've made you more than a conqueror. I've made you so good. Your game is so good. Nobody can defend you. You are awesome. Now you get that inside of you. And now suddenly you're like, yes, I don't care if you don't like me. That's a amen, Troy. But a lot of people walk around afraid and insecure. Do you like me? Do you? I don't think they like me. I don't think Leon likes me. I don't think Troy likes me. He didn't say hi to me. I don't think Pastor Kayton likes me at all. Listen, what does him liking you have to do with your play? God called you. Man, you start understanding that God called you to be the leader. Your game, suddenly, you start lighting up the boards. You are not afraid of anybody because God called you from eternity. He called you as he called Paul. And he called you and put, you know, Paul was entrusted with, you know, most of the New Testament. You would think that it would have been like Luke or somebody that spent their time with them. It wasn't. It was Paul who had a heavenly, by faith, through grace, relationship with Christ. Called him. He was about his business, doing his dirty work. And Christ called him. And now suddenly he's like, wow, I'm a bad man. Like, my words have weight. And he just tears it up. You are that kind of leader. You need to stop acting like you're a victim. You need to stop playing like you're a third round draft choice. You are first round draft choice. Hey, the Holy Ghost don't know no age. It doesn't know 3 years in the ministry. It don't know 2 years in the ministry. He don't know 20 years in the ministry. So if you're banking on the fact that you got more stripes than than maybe the young kids sitting up here or the children over there or the children or the youth over there, look, the Holy Ghost only needs some faith to work with. He just needs somebody to say, amen, I'm the man. I can do it. I'm a first round draft choice. I can shoot the game winner. Give it to me. There's 3 seconds left. Did you watch Chris Paul the other night? Like 13 seconds left. Give me the ball. Takes the ball, dribbles down, waits. 2-1, shoots it, makes it. Just walks off the court like I knew I was going to make it. That's you. You need to be calling for the ball when the game's on the line. Because you're the leader. All them senators, all them Congress people, President Obama, you're not the answer. You're not the leader by divine design. It's you. Now, hey, here's a novel idea. Why don't we start raising our kids to be those people? Why don't we start like the Kennedys, start raising a legacy of those who will go sit in Congress and won't bend a knee to bow? Won't bend a knee to greed. Won't bend a knee to a bribe. Won't bend a knee to a lie. Won't bend a knee to sex. Won't bend a knee to power. Won't be a glutton of power. Will just represent the divine leadership he's called to represent. That's where we're at. We need to start raising our kids to believe you're the president. You're the congressman. You're the vice president. That's what we need. Your first round draft choice. Hike up the mountain. Jesus on top of the mountain. He's not down at base camp. He's not down here. The hike is up. If you find yourself comfortable in your faith, listen, you're not taking steps up. Because if it was that easy, If it was that easy, whoever said that the faith walk was easy was not walking up. They were not climbing a mountain. They were on a stroll. They were walking on a beach. They were that's maybe where that poem came from, the footprints in the sand or something. I don't know, but I know this. I know they weren't walking up a mountain. There's a 2-hour trek up a mountain in Haiti. Listen, 2 hours it takes, and every bit of that 2-hour trek is up. Not one stretch of it is like this. Every bit of it goes straight up. Straight up a mountain. But on top of that mountain, there's this experience that you're rewarded. You are rewarded when you get to the top. But it takes. Faith takes steadfast. Whew. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. Hour into the trip, you're like, whew, I don't know about this, man. Are we close? We're halfway there. Whew. Okay. And then, you know, what happens occasionally? Because the road, the trail up the mountain, it's slippery. It's narrow and it's jaggedy. And there's rocks and it's unstable. And what happens a lot of times on this walk up the mountain of faith to where Jesus is calling us, he's calling us up. And what happens a lot on this walk up is we stumble. Oh yeah, we'll make mistakes. And we'll maybe take 3 steps down. But the trick is this, you just get back up. You take a big glass of grace. You know, we never go up. I tell the team, you don't ever leave the base to go up that mountain without 2 big containers full of water. Every person has to have two big containers, one for up and one for down. And so when you stumble, you just take your pack off. You unscrew it, and you take a big, long, refreshing drink of grace. Here's what you don't do. You don't sit on the side of the mountain and build a hut and hang out there. Because you weren't called to dwell on the side of the mountain. That's not where you were called to go. Jesus is up on top of the mountain. He's not halfway up the mountain. He's not 3/4 way up the mountain. He's all the way on top, and he's calling you to a higher place. As divine leadership, the call is way up high. And when you stumble, you're all going to stumble. Stop lying to yourself. Stop telling yourself, no, not me. Oh, yes, you will. And if you say, no, not me, promise you, I'll give you some of my grace to drink when you fall. You're going to need it. You just take a big drink of it. You put the cap back on, put it in your pack, and you just keep walking. You don't stop. You don't hang out. You don't lament over it. You just say, God, I need some grace now. I need some forgiveness. And you take a big drink, and then you put it back on, and you keep going. Because he's up there. And you leave sin behind you. You leave it behind you. Those who are climbing the mountain, I've learned this. I've learned this in my faith walk. That those who are high up on the mountain spend very little time dealing with the stuff down there. All of the hate and all of the haters and all of the talk and all of the whispers and all of the controversy. They have this ability to continue to walk and hike up the mountain. And if you begin to drag them down too much, they pull out their pack knife and they cut you off and they just keep climbing up the mountain. Because what I've realized is that there's way more important stuff happening up on top of the mountain than there is down in the valley with all the whispers and the biting and the snapping and the action's up there. The action's up there. And we can spend all our time down here in the valley dealing with valley stuff. You know, because everything runs downhill, right? It all runs downhill. And most of the time, if you're down there, you're going to get some on you. You spend too much time down in the valley, that stream is full of pollution because people, you know, they're doing their business in it. You spend your time down in the mully grubs in the valley where all of the drama takes place. You're not ascending. We're spending all of this time down there talking about, you know, what's wrong and what's not right. But what we should be doing is saying, hey guys, there's a place we got to get. And if we can get to that place up there, there's a reward up on top of that mountain that is greater than the mully grubs down here in the valley. Let's climb up on top of the mountain and see what Jesus has to say, because he's calling us. We all hear the call. Let's live like we're called. Let's leave sin at base camp. Let's put this foolishness to bed about grace being abused. If grace can be abused, God's not God. He can't be manipulated. He can't in one hand be manipulated and in the other hand be sovereign and all-knowing. He's either all-knowing and God or he's not. So if we think we can like hang out on the side of the mountain and we're fooling him, we're only fooling ourselves. We can't do that. Every day, we must consciously make a decision to get to the top. But here's the thing. We can't miss our appointments. We can't miss our appointments. Mark 3:14 says, then he appointed 12. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. That word appointed there, it means to make. It means that it is to be made through experience, time, and intimacy. He appointed, meaning he called them to the top of the mountain and he appointed them. He appointed them. He said, look, guys, I need to spend some time with you. We need to hang out and we need to be intimate because in his presence is where his power is possessed. You cannot, we're trying to do it the other way around. We're trying to operate in presence, in power without presence. Just like that woman did on the phone. She was trying to pretend to have power she did not possess because if she would just spent some time with the president of the company, she would have realized that that's not how you handle the questions that are being faced to you. She wasn't spending enough time. Could you imagine this? President Obama. Could you imagine President Obama taking himself and saying and minimizing his position by coming down off the mountain to handle the issues of a parking ticket? No, he wouldn't do that. Why? Because he's that's beneath him. That is beneath him. And we spend way too much time coming down off the mountain to deal with stuff that's beneath us. As leaders in the kingdom that run the world, we have no business dealing with issues that are beneath us. We need to take our time, spend it up here with Jesus. Because up here with Jesus is where his presence is. And we're trying to possess power without presence. And when we do that, we're trying to say, look, I don't need to come up there, Jesus. Why don't you telegram me some? Maybe email me some. Maybe send me some on Facebook. Maybe tweet me some. Give me some of that power down here that I need. I don't want to take the time to go in the energy. And, you know, it's a long hike up there, Jesus. No wonder. Because up top of that mountain, that's where the power's at. That's where the one who possesses all authority. And he says he's given them all authority. But they had to get to the top of, they had to begin to ascend to where he was to possess his power. It's not a meeting, but a process of presence. Leaders are appointed. They're made through experience an intimate time with Jesus. Presence produces power. Too many of us are disregarding the appointing process. We're minimizing the presence of Jesus and what it takes to be made as his disciples. To be made by Jesus, to be appointed by Jesus means he makes you. Not that he just says, hey, I got an appointment with you. To say, I got an appointment. When Jesus says, hey, don't miss your appointment, he means this. Let me be honest. He means this. I need you and me. I need nothing to be between us. You know, there's something happens when a husband and a wife get naked. There's intimacy. There's nothing between them. There's an intimate moment when nothing separates them. And in that moment, something has the potential to be conceived. And in those moments of intimacy, we can't disregard them. We can't ask for conception without intimacy. We're asking for children without the intimacy. We're asking for the produce without the intimacy, without the seed being planted, without any of that taking place. We're saying, just give me the byproduct of intimacy without the intimacy. And Jesus is like, that's not how it works. I created this system of relationship so as to avoid this. You thinking that I'm your genie, and then I'll just give you what you need when you need it. No, intimacy is required. Daily intimacy. Daily check-ins. Am I in the faith today? Am I walking? Lord, let's have a moment of intimacy. Because from the moments of intimacy, suddenly, we're producing and conceiving something powerful, something beautiful. You know, my little baby girl, she was conceived from intimacy, and now look at her. But it just doesn't happen the other way around. The other way around is unnatural. It's not how it happens. Preparation for preaching. Don't be that guy who doesn't know what he doesn't know. Don't be the guy who doesn't know what he doesn't know. There's nothing more dangerous than a believer, a leader, who doesn't know what they don't know. You follow me? Like, when you don't know what you don't know, you start saying things that don't make sense, that's foolish, and you start revealing your immaturity in the faith and in your position of leadership. And so you never want to be that guy. You want to be the guy that says, then he appointed 12 that he might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Now, most people I come across in the kingdom, all they're looking for is a pulpit. But they're neglecting what happens behind the scenes. See, if you were with me this morning, if you would have awoke with me this morning at 8:30, you would have experienced what I would have experienced and what kept me out of the office all day, where I was dealing with crisis. For 6 hours straight, I was dealing with crisis in the kingdom. And it just required, like, okay, this is going to take some faith. But from that moment, character gets built. Integrity gets instilled. And so now, when I stand up here and I say stuff, the stuff I say has weight. It's weight. Like, I'm not just up here mumbo jumbo in you. I love the verse that says, that talks about Samuel being a prophet, and says, his words never fell to the ground empty as the prophet of the Lord. Because his pulpit, his sermon was birthed out of an experience that was up on a mountain. And anytime, see, he's telling us, he's saying, look, I need you to tell this story. Because I'm getting ready to go, guys. I'm getting ready to be resurrected. I'm getting ready to go way up high on that mountain. And I need you to propagate this good message. This message of glory and goodness, of hope and power. I need you to propagate it. I need you to herald it. I need you to proclaim it. But don't ever think you can proclaim this message without the character to match the weight of the message. If who we are doesn't align with the message of hope, then we got problems. Words must carry experience with Christ, or they become shallow and insufficient. The weight of our character must match the weight of our words. Words must be internalized before verbalized. And we have to earn the right to be heard. It's not just like Pastor was talking. You can't just add water to this. This is not a quick recipe. This isn't a no-bake recipe. This isn't that. This is a recipe that requires that you and I, we actually, our character is shown through the time we spend up there. No matter where we're at, whether we're working as a CEO for a company, or whether we work at the grocery store, or whether we work at some restaurant down the road, our character must match the gospel we preach. Because people can tell. People know. That's why the power of our testimony, the word of the testimony of the saints, is so powerful. That when we speak it, it speaks of what we've gone through. But we didn't go through it alone. We went through it with faith in Christ. And we came out of that with an experience. A lot of those kids that shared their story on Sunday, they weren't born again when they took that trip. They didn't know Jesus, most of them. But guess what? They took a journey of faith. And from that journey of faith, Christ was born. And so when they got up here to say what they said, it had weight. It had weight. Like it hits you like boom. You were like, oh, that is anointed. When Ralph said what he said about the boy hearing this, like it, boom, it hit me. I'm like, whoo, son, that's anointed. Son, that's anointed. When Trish began to talk about not being from this world, but being from there, listen, that shook this place like thunder. When that little girl, Angela, began to talk about her the love she experienced and how now suddenly she felt like she's a part of this family that was born from an experience on top of a mountain with Jesus. And now she's telling the story to everyone in her school. And guess what? It's so anointed that it's undeniable. It's so alluring. You're like, oh my gosh, what is it that happened to you? You are glowing with some kind of glory. And she's like, man, I don't know. I just met this dude named Jesus and whoo, it changed me. Let's allow our lives to be defined by the time we spend on top of the mountain with Jesus. The only time we come down is to tell the sweet story. Tell the sweet story of how he rescued us from sin. And we bring this message of hope to those that are dying, sick, thirsty. I close with this. As a plane was about to leave a large airport, the flight attendant began to check tickets. Looking at the ticket of the first passenger, he remarked, "Friend, I think you're on the wrong plane." "But," replied the man, "the ticket agent over there told me that this was my plane." And after a little discussion, the attendant decided to check with the flight ticket agent again. And before long, it became very, very clear that the flight attendant was on the wrong plane. When the leader is lost, how can the followers be flying to the right destination? The airport is full of confused and disoriented and lost. They're just looking like, and it's our responsibility. We're the ones who run the world as the church. We're the leaders who are flying this plane to its destination. We're the ones who are supposed to know where the plane is going. So tonight, let's make sure we're not deferring our leadership roles to lesser authority in the earth. Tonight, it's our job, it's our responsibility to stand up. So I invite you to stand up with me now. To stand up and step into the role of divine leadership by the design of the one that created you. You are his choice. You are not second. You are not inferior to Pastor Caton, T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar. The world doesn't need another one of those, doesn't need another one of me. What it needs is for you to step into your leadership role as a God-born child of the King. So as we close in prayer now, Lord Jesus, we ask you, if we are confused about our conception and where you've called us from, may you secure in the heart of every believer in this building tonight that they've been called from on high. that they've been called from eternity, that you are actually sitting in the heavenly realms and you have called each of them by name specifically and designed them as prophets and leaders and teachers to the nations. They are apostles. They are prophets. They are the ones you have hand chosen, and you are screaming through eternity. Just like you called Lazarus from the dead, you called every one of us from our death and into your life. And so we tonight will stop playing like we're second round draft choice. We will play this game of faith as we have been called personally by you, Jesus. I pray for every person in this room tonight that they would know that they know that you have called them. If they've never answered the call from on high, right now, I pray that you would do that with me now. Lord Jesus, we ask you. We answer the phone call and we ask you to forgive us of our sin. We want to live for you, and God, we want to make a difference on this earth that's eternal. We want to shake things up for the kingdom of heaven. We want purpose to be born in our hearts, and we want heaven to invade the earth through our lives tonight. One day we'll be with you, but until then, we'll invade the earth with heaven. Make that a reality in our life tonight. We call upon the name of Jesus, and your word declares that you will save us and rescue us. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my friends tonight. Thank you for birthing purpose and divine destiny in every one of their lives tonight. I bless them and thank you, God, that they step into their leadership position, that they no longer be intimidated by the Ahabs of this world, by the principalities and powers that are beneath them, God. I pray a divine power and authority would come upon them, a boldness that comes from the kingdom of glory. We bless you tonight. We thank you that you are real and true and alive, making a difference in the earth by those who would trust in your name and faith. We bless you. We love you. You are beautiful, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you could help us tonight on the way out, give tonight. Thank you for your continued giving. Just write your checks payable to CNC. If you're watching online, you can give there up in the right-hand corner of the tab. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Say happy birthday to Pastor tonight. If you're on Facebook, just go see him and say happy birthday, or Twitterland or Vine or one of them other ones. God bless you. See you Sunday. Pastor will be here Sunday. He'll be laying it down. He's been gone for a couple weeks, so he's going to come back fired up. God bless you.